Pasuk in this week's parasha tells us Vayitzaveim el bnei Yisrael, that Hashem tells Moshe to command the Jewish people and to Paro. Now we're not exactly sure what exactly the command was and what the nature of it was. The Medrash over here says on page number one, Amar lan Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron, Hayu noagim bo kavod v'chilkul kavod l'malchus. Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron that they need to show kavod, they need to show honor to Paro. Now, in and of itself, that's a little bit strange. Paro is not known to be the nicest of kings. You're in the back, Phil, not the front. There you go. The one on the bottom gives it away every time. So, right? I picked on Phil again. Last week, I picked on his first name. This week, I picked on the number. Okay. Hashem says, you have to show Paro a little bit of honor. Even though I'm going to punish Paro, Moshe. And this is exactly what Moshe did. Shene'emar v'yardu kol avadecha eila elai, lo amar alav ela alavadav. That when Hashem describes that the Egyptians are going to be punished, so it just refers to Paro's servants. It does not refer to Paro. Afa pisha hayelolomer, says the Medrash, even though it should have said atem umalkechem hu baatzmo shenemar vayakum Paro balaila, even though it should have included Paro in the punishment that was about to happen as well, which is kachava, which is exactly what ultimately ended up happening. But ulakach lo pirsim oso. But yet, when Hashem gave the original commandment, it does not list Paro, only his servants. Why? Kedei lechalok kavod lemalchus, so that you could give honor to the malchus. So what I want to do is discuss that notion of kavod lemalchus a little bit with you today. Certainly in the context of this medrash in our parsha this coming week, it's a little bit strange that you would have to give honor to Paro. Paro would not be someone who would strike me as particularly deserving of that honor, and yet that is what Hashem says. Where else do we see in the Chumash that Paro was afforded honor by a Jew? Yaakov. When Yaakov? Okay, where explicitly, according to Rashi, is he shown kavod? So if you look by Yosef, when Yosef is taken out of the prison, so the very first thing that he does is gets a haircut. Rashi says, why? Because to show kavod to the malchus, that you can't go before a king looking shabby. So instead, he dressed himself up and he got a haircut and put himself into nice clothes. So I want to discuss this notion of kavod l'malchus, and particularly in the context of saying a bracha on seeing a melech. So if you turn to page number two, the Gemara in Maseches Brachos tells us the following. Right in the middle of the page where I have my underlines. Tana Rabbanan. Haroa chachme Yisrael omer baruch shechalak mechachmaso li'ireav. When you see a wise man of the Jewish people, there's a bracha for that. Chachme ovdei kochavim omer, if you saw a non-Jewish, particularly wise person, so you say the bracha, shenasan chachmaso lebriyosav. And then the Gemara goes on to say, aroa malchei Yisrael, omer baruch shechalak michvodo lireyav. Again, a bracha if you see a Jewish king. Malchei ovdei kochavim, what happens if I see a non-Jewish king? Omer baruch shenasan michvodo lebriyosav. We give a bracha that Hashem gave from his kavod to his creations. So in other words, there's this notion, almost you get a very clear sense, of the king as a reflection of Hashem himself. Right? And that's very clear when we say, shenasan mechvodo, that Hashem gave from his kavod. There's a certain sense of reflection in the king of course, the King of Kings. Then, Amar of Yochanan, le'olam yishtada adam larutz likras malchi Yisrael, person should run after malchi Yisrael, not just, you might think, only Jewish kings we should run after, but says Rav Yochanan, you should even run after non-Jewish kings. So you can tell the difference between the two of them. Then Rav Sheshes, there's a whole story about Rav Sheshes being blind, and they keep on trying to convince him that the king was there, and Rav Sheshes time after time says, nope, not now, nope, not now, nope, not now. Finally, it's all quiet. And Rav Sheshes says, ah, now the king is coming. So they said to him, where I have that underline, how did you know that? How did he know that the king is here? We tried convincing you 4 times that the king was here. All of a sudden it's quiet, and now you know that the king is here. So Amar Lei, Rosh Hashanah says back to them, "Demachusa da'ara ke'ein machusa da'rakia," that the king on this earth is similar to the king up above. And by the king up above, we know by the story of Eliyahu at Har Carmel, "Lo baruach Hashem, v'achar ruach rash, lo barash Hashem, v'achar rash eish," right? God wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in the thunder, he wasn't in the lightning, but rather, where was Hashem? Kol mamadaka. He was in the silence. And so Rosh Hashanah said, as a reflection of Hashem, when I heard the silence, that's how I knew that the king came. So we see there's this bracha of Malchei Ovdei Kochavim, a Baruch Shenasan Michvodo Libriosav. What exactly is the nature of that bracha? When do you employ that bracha? Who is considered a king nowadays? Is a Russia considered a king? How about a president of a democratically elected country? Would that be considered a king? What about a Malka? Does this just apply to a Melech, or would it apply to a Malka as well? Secondly, that we have to figure out, is what do you actually have to see? Do I actually have to see the king? What happens if I go to England nowadays, I sit outside the palace, Queen Elizabeth, is that her name, right? Queen Elizabeth removes the curtain and waves to me. Do I say the bracha then? What happens if I happen to run into a president or a king? Again, we'll see what exactly is happening. And I see them jogging on the street. Do I say the bracha then, or is it only if they're wearing the levush malchus? So all of this we're going to explore. And to save us a little bit of time, we're going to condense many of the sources into a tshuva from Rav Avadya Yosef, page number 3. Rav Avadya was asked about a president. Do you say this bracha of Nasan Michvodo Labasar Adam, that God gave his kavod onto mankind? Says Rav Avadya, Sheila, Haroa Nasi Midina Bizman Hazeh. See a president nowadays. Haim Chayiv Levarech Ala B'Shem Malchus Birchas HaMalachim Shehi Shenasan Michvodo Labasar Adam Olav. Do you make this bracha nowadays? Is it applicable in the context of an elected president? Now obviously a president is going to be different than a king or a queen in many regards. So you'll have to keep that in the back of your mind. But Rav Avadya is going to address a lot of these issues. He writes, Tshuva, Rabbeinu Avram Bar Yitzchak Av Beis Din Baal Sefer Eshkol Kasa B'Tshuva Sheko Mishu Chashuv B'Shilton Uvinesios Kemelech, anyone who practically functions as a king, V'horeg B'Mishpat V'ein Mishayimcha B'Yado V'Lashanos Dvarov, and you have the power to kill someone, to exact judgment, and no one can override you. In other words, you are the buck stops here. You are the end of the road. And there's no one who can outvote you. And there's no one who can veto your decisions. Malu lehenu mehem lelav. No one can tell you whether to do something or not do something. You have complete autonomy. Afilu humea umos olam. Even if it's a non-Jewish king, mevarech alav birchas hamalachim. You say the birchas hamalachim. That is quoted in the Sefer Archos Chaim. What is very clear is the determining factor of whether or not, or how we're describing this form of power. So it's explicit. It's almost two components. Number one, shehoreg b'mishpat, that you have the power over life and death. But more than that, or in addition to that, you have autonomous power. There's no one who can outvote you. There's no one who can override you. There's no one who can veto you. That is the Sefer Eshkol. He quotes here the Radbaz B'tshuva. The Radbaz writes, "Hevi gam kein divrei Rabbeinu Avram abeizdin haniskralel v'kasa shelafi zeh yesh ladon sheapacha shel haMitzrim shenishlach al yedei melech tugrima." I didn't understand what pacha was, but it's very clear. It's like an under
the
pasha. Pasha. Like an underling, right? Okay, so yeah, I got the gist, right? The second in command, like a emissary of the king, okay? So he sends him. So the question was, Mevarchin alav birchas amalachim. So they said the bracha malachim, kevin sheyachol lasos kirtono. Because once he's sent by the king, he can do whatever he wants. V'yafal pishas kamas hamishpatis bedina nefashos mesurabi de hashofet harashish el medina. And even though in theory he has to answer, or the judgment comes down from the high court in that kingdom, v'yapacha rak mevatzei es gezar adin, and this guy's only carrying out the judgment. Haha. Mikol makum kevan shebishas cherum dinam b'mishpat tzva'i shukmo harat shah. Biyara pacha has machot ladun la rog gam shalob miskeras achok. Right, when you're talking about, let's say, like a military tribunal, so there are certain forms of judgment that supersede the natural order of law in a land. Or again, back then when the Ranbaz was writing in the 16th century, so once I sent my emissary to exact judgment or to effect a court, you know, a case, I also gave him an enormous amount of liberty, right, in judiciousness to decide what he wants. So while he was on his own, there was an enormous amount of autonomy. He didn't always write letters back to get permission for everything. Once they were there, and they were the all-powerful, and they had the entourage and the military, right, they did what they wanted. Says the Radbaz, L'fichach yichon levarach ala birchas ha-malachim. Because again, he had that autonomy, that unchecked autonomy, to be able to exact the judgment that he so desires, including death. Therefore, the Radbaz says you would make the Birchas Malachim. Umikom makom lemaisa ein dati maskemes lahatir levarach b'shem malchus. Said the Radbaz, but I don't want to do it with shem malchus. Why? The Birchas Hamalachim apacha. Oh, sar misari melech. Kevan shanu roim shamelech nosin horaos ayide ksavim ma'amarim l'shanos divrei apacha mehen lula mehen lula. Because ultimately, it's the king who has all the power. Right? Where do we know this from? Story of Purim. Right? Achashverosh and his letters back and forth. However great Haman was, but Achashverosh had the power to write the letters. We see that from Ezra Nehemiah as well. Ve'osam shiltono shehiti Rabbeinu Avram av Bezdin. The only time he says, I would say it with the Shema Malchus, is if there's no one on top of them. So if it's the Melech himself, it's the Malka herself, says, V'lachein, Yesh Lahoros, Levarech Alapacha, Birchas Malachim, Beli Shema Malchus. Therefore, for this underling, for this emissary, he says, you can make the bracha, but do it without Shema Malchus. That's the Radbaz. Now, what was the Radbaz's hedge? The Radbaz's hedge was only if there's a king on top. What's implicit in the Radbaz? What if there's no one on top? I am the top guy. Then what? Then you would say it even with Shema Malchus. That's the clear impression you get. Continues Rav Avadia. V'lechora hayamakom lomar shenasi medina bizman hazeh b'medina democratis. What about a democratically elected president? Shein lo smichot lemishpat v'laharo ko avat nafsho. He doesn't have the power to put people to death. Ein levarech alav. So you would not make the bracha. She Rabbeinu Avram av Bezdin v'aradbaz. Talo adavar b'misha b'yado ladon dine nefashos v'yacho laharog b'mishpat. That was only someone who could put people to death. Ma she'ein kein b'nesiyim shel zmanenu. That's not the case with presidents in our day and age. You got to listen to Rav Avadia before you disagree with him. B'kiyot b'zeh kasa b'shalos shuvos kiryas chana, David, she'anasi b'zman hazeh, she'ein pekudaso miskayemes b'li haskama sari ha-medina, u'batei ha-mechokakim shela, ein levarach ala birchas ha-melech, she'ein zedoma le-melech she'gozir mekayim ve'inu me'levado. Wait, a king, he's the be-all and end-all. Can the president do whatever he wants? No, you got a judicial system, you've got a legislative branch, right? We have a system called checks and balances in our country. That's the exact opposite of what the Radbaz and others were setting up. And then he says, however, maybe there's a reason why you should. Ulam nira shehoil v'yesh b'yado shel nasi medina lekabel o lidchot hamlatzas chanina al mishad nidon lamus ayidei batei mishpat hamuskamim lekach. Right, what can the king, what can the president do? They can pardon someone. So he says, because they can pardon someone, what do they have power over? Life and death. He says, Nimsa she samchus dine nefashos mesur biyado. Therefore, he is given the power over dine nefashos, v'ariu kamelech shedan v'horig b'mishpat. And therefore, he should be like the king who has that same power over death. V'yafal pisha nasi nivchar rak l'tkufa mitsuyemes. Maybe he'll tell me that the difference between a king and a president is that a king is eternal, it's a lifetime position, whereas the president, here 4 years, gone the next, 8 years, whatever it is, right? 4 or 8 years. But eventually, you know, they're going to be voted out, someone else is going to come in. Ve'eno nishar b'nisiyoso kamelech, shenishar b'malchuso atzof yamav. Maybe he'll say there's a difference between a melech and a president, because the melech is there forever. So Ravadi doesn't like that. He says that's irrelevant. Because as long as the president is president, he has the power. Right? Mikol makom, kevan sheba, sher hu sham, nasi, shem nasi hu, mivarachan ala b'shem malchus. Okay, no one's asking you to say shem malchus over President Trump or President, I don't get in any trouble, President Obama or President Bush or President, you know, whoever. No one's asking you to say it over that. The question is, do you make it over President Biden? Right, and whenever he's elected out or whatever he finishes his term, so you wouldn't have to make on him. But while because they don't have the power anymore. But while they have the power, says Rav Avadia, that's when you should make the bracha. Uka oso shamru. The only reason I underline this is because what is it? Today's daf. I got so excited. Daf yomi coincidence. Today's daf says tala beidna sagile, which basically means don't mess with a fox when he's being successful. Right? Why? The fox is not the most chashuv of the animals, but when a fox is seeing success, so you don't mess with it. That's the Gemara in today's daf. V'chei mevor b'sefer Torah Chaim Sofer, sheyesh levarach al nasi medina birchas hamelech b'shem ha'malchus. You say it with the shem ha'malchus. V'yafal pi she'enu noeg nesiyuso ela tkufa mesuyemes, even though he's only a president for a very short period of time. Mikol makom kevan she'as machos biyado b'zman nesiyuso. Right, since he has that power, therefore, you're going to make the bracha then. So if we stopped right here, so we saw a few things. Number one, the Radbaz, who dealt with the case of an underling, of an emissary. And there he said, because that individual does not have full and complete power, so you would not say it was Shem HaMalchus. What about a democratically elected president? So Rav Avadia, up until this point, seems to say yes, that because this person has the potential to pardon, therefore, he has what we defined as the power over life and death. Therefore, he says, you should make the bracha. What about the fact that there's a difference between presidents and kings? He said, it doesn't matter. While he's the president, he has that power, and therefore you would make the bracha. And then he says something very interesting. What about the president, or what about the king, requires us to honor them? Is it simply the position? Is it the clothes? Renos, what is it about them that initiates our obligation to bestow honor upon them? So says Rav Avadia, Ulam adayim yesh makom ladun. Im efshar levarech al nasi shu levush bigde ezrach, ve'ein ha'am roe es kvodo ves godlo. Maybe you only have to show the kavod when they're dressed to the part. But when they're dressed like a commoner, then there's no honor to them, right? The clothes make the man, okay? We know that from the Kohen. We know that from a melech, that there were certain clothes that they wore, right? So we know that. Kamo amelech, shalovesh, big day malchus, shekulam roi mes yakar tiferes, gedula so. There's a reason why the king or the queen wears kingly garments and queenly garments and crowns, right? Because that is supposed to evoke this sense of awe and reverence. So he says, "If Emesha Agoner Vishaya Pinto, Bishal's Chuvas Nivchar Mikesav Nishal, Imaroes Amelech Shulavosh Kecharam." Right? Who was it? Clinton used to run. So or Bush used to bike, and Obama used to play basketball. So I don't know what Biden does, but right. So no, I didn't mean the golf. What is he? Cars. All right, whatever he does. The point is, let's say you saw President Bush when he was biking. He's in shorts and a t-shirt. Saw President Clinton when he was running. So he writes here that here they look like a regular person. They're dressed like me and you. He answered over there, Shein levarech birchas hamelech, ella bizman shirom es hamelech bichvodo. It's only when you see them in their full glory. Shekein nusach habracha shenasan michvodo lebasa v'dam, vimhu mishalech ke'ezrach ragil, if they're just like a normal person, ayei kvodo la'aritzo. Where's the honor? V'ikra kavod hu b'mal v'ushav. Right, the ikar, the essential component of the honor that you show a present or a king, is in their garments. Shehu lavush bibigdei hasrad. When they wear the clothes of power. So obviously with a queen or a king, it's a lot more easy to differentiate. With a president, I guess that would be a suit, tie, who was it? President? It was President Bush, who was makbid. He never stepped from the Oval Office without a suit on. Right? Shezeh nikar kvod tivarto. Kidrav Yochanan Shayakori Lamabushav Kvodo. Gamnir Shirichvo Ufarashav Uvenechelo. Right, presidents and kings have other ways of communicating power. They have entourage, they have secret service agents, they have horses, they have chariots, right? There are many ways that they communicate it. Okay? Vizulasam. And if you don't have any of them, Lochal Chiyab Bracha Zo Klal Vizet Pashut Adkan. So he paskin that absent all of that pomp and circumstance and the entourage, so there's no obligation whatsoever to show them the kavod. So even there, let's say you see the president jogging or biking, but they're surrounded by Secret Service agents and the guy with the football in the hand, not the actual football, the president's football. So maybe that would require this bracha. He says, V'chiyos b'zeh kasav hazocher hazkor hazichor la'avram. B'shev Rabu Amuvak, Shima Melech Lavosh Begadim Ezrachim, Leval Yikiru Pashut, Shein Levarech Alav Birchas HaMelech, Shein Yivarech Shenasin Michvodo V'Chavod Ad Ka'en Kan, Kihu Mispashi B'Begdav V'Arihu Kechol Adam. Parenthetically, this is a broader discussion. There's a lot of literature about the clothes required of a Talmud Chacham, how they have to be dressed properly, that they can't have stains on their shirt. It's the same exact reason. Right, it's a reflection of the kavod of Shamayim. How does Rav Avadia finish? So if you look here on the page number 3. Page number 5, see, even I got confused. Page number 5, I was wondering why I ran out of underlines. He says, V'lchora, mi mashmus, divrei Rabbeinu Avram, av beizdin, v'harad baz. He says, this whole clothes thing is cute. But if you go back to the original tshuva of the Radbaz, in the Rabbeinu Avram Av Beis Din, Nira Shakol Taloi Be Smichuso Nikar Kvodo Shechai Adam Tluyim Biyado. He says, if you go back to those original tshuvas, it's all dependent on what? On the power of life and death. Doesn't mention Vein Adavar Taloi B'Malvushim U'Bigdei Srad. It doesn't matter anything about the clothes, and therefore he says Umashma. I'm skipping the next underline. Therefore, Rav Avadia says, if you go back to the original tshuvas, clothes shouldn't matter at all. What really matters is the power that they have. Therefore, he finishes off, Shiyesh levarech ala beli shem umalchus v'safek brachos lahakel, which is a little bit predictable. Anytime you have a machlokes by brachos, we paskin safek brachos lahakel. He has in the next paragraph, what about if you see the president or the king on television? That he doesn't says you do not make the bracha. He quotes a whole halachic argument about that as well. If you go to page number 6, Tshuvos van Hagos, Rav Moshe Sternbach. He was asked, what about the president of South Africa? And he paskins a little bit differently than Rav Avadia. He says, "Bizachruni shegiel Eretz Yisrael, levikur anasi me America." He says, when the American president came to Israel, nechalku arabanim levarach shenasi michvado. Lo, everyone was debating: do you make the bracha or not? Viladati, kevan shema amado hu taloi veomid baachlatas beisa nivcharim, shema shebekocham leadiachoso, v'sam chiusav mugbali maod ein levarach. He said, because in America, we have, as we discussed earlier, a balance of power. We have checks and balances. We have a House of Representatives. We have barriers on what a president can and cannot do. Velo dami lemelucha be'angalia. It's not like the king, queen in England. Afilu bismanenu shal kol chok chadash hamlacha chosemes, where she has to give her stamp of approval on everything. Velo mischalefes ela melucha biyada v'yatzetzav, and it stays in her family. V'chvoda kichavod malachim amish. There, the honor is like a real honor of a king, the real honor of a queen. Queen. V'yavshalom ma'isa eno mis areves b'sidrei hashilton. Mikomachum sarech es chasimasa al kol chok v'chok. She gets to give the stamp. V'yamemshala yonekes es samchusa mimene. Everything emerges from her. Therefore, he says, skip to the next underline. A little above that. Aval nasi v'artos abris yichol nadicho. We can vote the king out. We can vote, sorry, the president out. We don't like him. We can get rid of him. Umalchus lizman eino doma lemelech ve'eino roi levarich alav. You can't compare someone who's there for 4 or 8 years to someone who's there for eternity. Uchmochein kan bidarum Africa ein lenasim ein kavod malachim. Therefore, in South Africa, you don't give that honor that you would give to, for example, the Queen of England. He makes a comment that requires context about the differences in South Africa at the time he's writing. But he says, what about a Malka? He says in the next paragraph, V'ra'isi l'kame rabbeinu bizmanenu, shedanu im levarech al Malka, delo shayich atam. Right, what about a Malka? So many wanted to say that the Malka was different. He says, I don't understand that. He says, v'dvarim temuhim, shein mevarchin ela al kavod malchus, shim yizke yavchi, v'shayich bein melech bein malka. Now, if you go back to the original argument, that it's someone who has the potential to put someone to death, so who cares whether it's a male or female? At the end of the day, what is the reason for showing them the honor? It's the power that they have. He goes on to say, very interesting. He says, "Vilfizen istapakti b'masher isi be'angalia yehudim omdim mul armon." People would stand outside the palace. Ulefamim amalka mistal kos bachutz ve'az mevarchim. She would, you know, peek her head behind the curtain, and they would all make the bracha. He says, "Why?" It's only when you experience the full pomp and circumstance when she's walking in the street in her carriage and you see the whole thing. And everyone's giving her honor. And they see the honor. Because they're not making a bracha about her. They're making a bracha about the institution. They're making a bracha about the office that she holds. And therefore, he says, "V'lemaisa nira delidan k'sheish safek ein levarich b'shem umalchus v'chein mash mevatli milim adatora lerosa melech pam achas dahinu k'shenir mechvodo v'lorai ba'alma yisham." He's not such a fan, let's just say, of the Bittul Torah of people who left the base medrash to go and see the king or the queen. Okay, what the last thing I want to touch upon is the why. Why is this so significant? Why do we have a bracha about it? What is it about the kavod that evokes this type of an emotion and therefore the type of bracha? So if you look in the Sefer Sam Derech, Rav Broid from the Chevron Yeshiva, so he writes on the left-hand side where you have that little finger. He says, "Ubir inyan hizihirus b'chavod amalchus nira mikama b'chinos." Why is it that we're so careful? This is the last page. Why is it that we're so careful with kavod amalchus? So he gives five reasons. Number one, echad kipshuto, chiyuv mehilchos derech eretz. I love that. It says number one is derech eretz. You got to be nice to people. So we should show everyone respect and everyone dignity. Right? We could use a little bit more of this in our day and age. Number two, hama min haroa b'chol davar is yad hashkachas Hashem yisbrach. If you really believe that Hashem controls everything in the world, so when you see one individual that Hashem has given so much success to, when you've seen one individual that Hashem has allowed to experience such levels of pomp and circumstance and honor in this world, it must be because that's the Ratzon Hashem. Therefore, he says at the end of Beis, Me'ata kal v'chomer ben benosho kal v'chomer. Kasher kash baruch hu kaviyachu hu mechabed adam zeh. If God gives this man so much kavod that he should be the king, Vaday chayavim anu lechabdo b'chavod malachim. So too, we have to honor him as well. So that's number two. Number three, miyesodos hanefesh, she'adam yarech dvarim v'yechabdam. It is natural that we value things and we honor things. Habaz ledvarim hu zar yahir velatz. Right, that can obviously be abused. Right, some people can honor athletes and people with lots of money and stuff like that. Right, v'tam lekach ki kasher nafshus adam bazeh umizalzelis bedvarim harishakol devar nase zol. Right, in other words, it's important to show honor to something because otherwise nothing has value. He says in the end, v'lachein al adam lizar bechavod kol devar v'alchas kama v'kama bechavod amalchas. In other words, we should show honor to everything. You should value your possessions. Shouldn't treat them disrespectfully. That's the whole prohibition of Baal Tashchis. Why don't we just destroy things? Because we recognize that we have to be careful. We have to be sensitive to things. So all the more so, he says, that would apply to Malchus. Number four. Im be'enei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol ma'asei shel adam nimdad v'nishka b'maznei mishpa v'tzedek. If we believe that Hashem is paying attention and weighing all of our actions, nilman mikach she'ma'asei adam gedolim u'balei erech b'lisov hein b'tzad tov. Right? So our actions matter. Therefore, he says, mishum kach chayva Torah l'chabed es ma she'bnei adam machshivim u'mechabdim. Therefore, he says, we have to give honor to that as well. And the last one, I think, is the most compelling. He says, right? We have to honor Hashem. We can't fully appreciate what that means. What does it mean to honor Hashem? What does it mean that Hashem is a king? These are words that are meaningless to us. So we need some vision, some understanding of what it means to show honor to something. Therefore, to give us a billionth of a sense of what it is to show kavod to a melech, Hashem creates this bracha. So when we show honor to the president, when we show honor to a king or a queen, what we're really doing is training ourselves, sensitizing ourselves to what it means to show honor to Hashem. Where else do you have this idea? By Kibud Av Va'Em. Hashem says, the Sefer Achinuch is an understanding of the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'Em. Says, why is it on the first five, not the second five? If it's a Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, why is it on the five that's Ben Adam L'Makom? Says the Sefer Achinuch, because honoring your mother and your father is not just about honoring them, but rather we have to show honor to Hashem. Now, why do we have to show honor to Hashem? Because he did some nice things for us. He brought us into this world. He does chesed. Says the Sefer Achinuch, if we don't honor our parents, if we don't have that gratitude to our parents, so where are we going to learn to show that gratitude to Hashem? Honoring our parents is the laboratory through which we learn how to show gratitude and to appreciate the gifts that someone gives us, so that as a vehicle, we can then appreciate everything that Hashem does for us. So we discussed a little bit based on the Medrash on this week's Parsha about that notion of Kavod HaMalchus. We discussed who is considered a king nowadays. Does it apply to a king or a queen? What about a democratically elected president? What do you have to see? Is it a din in the clothes? Do you have to see their face? Is it the experience of the pomp and circumstance? And lastly, we saw the why. Why is it that we have to show the honor? We saw a couple, but I think the main one is that last one that he quoted, which is the notion that by understanding and appreciating just a little bit of what it means to show kavod to a melech or a malka, we will understand our obligation towards the Ribono Shel Olam. Everyone have a great day.